Today on our show, we are taking you to the Oscars this week, folks.
As we cover the worst 10 films ever nominated for the Best Picture Award.
Hit that thing. Welcome to episode 364 of the Countdown Podcast, folks. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul, and welcome to the show. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And as we've already said at the top, Oscar time, baby.
Oscar time.
Love it or hate it, it is the most significant awards event in the history, or at least yearly, of film.
Oh yeah, it used to be the thing, man. Back in the day, the Oscars night, I watched it every single time, man, until I realized it was so long.
Yeah.
And I started taping it and fast-forwarding through it. It was a much better thing.
It was very long, and now they've got rid of like 10 categories of technical, and that's really put people
Everyone
up in arms.
Everyone is pissed about shit.
I don't know if the Oscars can win this argument that they're
way,
in,
man.
Unfortunately.
They've gone through Oscars so white, they've gone through Oscars, yeah. All kinds of shit.
Whether you watch it or you don't watch it, and hate it or love it, it is
we
significant.
We still talk about it.
And that's why we're going to give you today not just these worst 10 films that we think should never have been nominated for Best Picture in any year, let alone the years that they were, but we're also going to give you our predictions for the big six categories that we follow. Over here on the countdown.
Oh, yeah.
Which
acting categories, fucking fuck up.
The best picture, best director, and the screenplay. I say six? Eight categories,
yeah,
I should say.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what's going to be happening on today's show. Let's get into it then. On the other side of the segment, which kicks off everything. It's called The Recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Open up the mailroom, Paulie.
Well, let's kick it off with an email from Chef Ben Randall in the Weeds podcast. He said, Fellas, I will not defend the Book of Boba Fett.
Oh.
It's objectively not good.
What?
However, my brother works in Hollywood and I asked him why it wasn't good and this is what he had to say.
Ermagerd, a scoop.
Originally, Solo, Boba Fett and Obi-Wan were planned as three feature films loosely set up as a trilogy with Maul being the overarching bad guy.
Cracker, what?
Solo was the action movie, Boba is the gangster thriller and Obi-Wan was going to be the cowboy movie.
Oh,
after
wow.
Solo tanked at the box office, this was scrapped. So when they started having success with the TV shows, the story for Boba was resurrected. As you notice, it's not enough story for seven episodes. There's about 2 hours of material there. That's because it was meant to be a movie. They stretched it out, I would say, unsuccessfully. The main problem with the Book of Boba Fett is that as an audience, we have no idea what Boba wants. We don't really know what he needs to do to get it, and we don't have a strong villain. The show's a mess. In short, I agree with your view. I would add that Hawkeye was bad until non-Hawkeye characters showed up. It's a distressing pattern with Disney Plus. Thank you, Chef Ben.
Thank you. That is the best shit ever. You know what?
Scoop.
I see what you're saying and all of that stuff. I still had a good time because I'm a Star Wars whore. Or Star Wars, if you like. So
bitch,
there you go.
Please.
That's really good stuff, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought that was really impressive and well put together. Over on Twitter, we did have, in reaction to our controversial neo-noir episode from a few weeks back.
Yeah.
From the Victorian Gas Lamp. Great noir episode.
Oh, thank you.
But how is this mixed picture of Mel Gibson in Payback?
Noir.
Kind of fits, right?
Shit, yes it does. And I fucking love that film.
Yes.
Damn it.
So there we are.
Screwed up. Nice
another reason and way that we fucked up.
I fucked that shit in. Yeah.
Speaking of fucking up, well, apparently last week I should not have had Over the Top on my worst 10 canon films list because, dear God, was I raked over the coals for it by our listeners when you smashed me 31 votes to a paltry 18 in the listener feedback.
I am surprised a lot of this Over the Top backlash.
Defense?
Because like I heard, I'm researching the show, a lot of people have this opinion about
just
Over the Top.
People listen to
but
us,
not our audience. And I like that. They like this shit because I like Over the Top too. What's up?
That said, Jonathan Kidd said, I was always voting for whoever put Superman 4 colon the quest for queefs higher.
Queefs.
Troy Spinner, who goes to all the trouble to put up our list each
yeah.
week. So thank you very much for that, Troy. Ex of the Comic Confidential podcast. Look, basically, he said, Paul gets the instant loss this week as soon as this list started by dissing the awesome Over the Top in the sport of professional arm wrestling. How dare you, sir?
yes.
Mario Leon, patron of the show, said, Wayne all the way because Paul Over the Top has the best Kenny Loggins song. Also,
which
it made for a great
one?
Drinking movie. Every time the kid cries, you take a shot. Sure, okay, vote for Wayne on that basis, Mario.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Kenny Loggins rocks, man.
Chad Fackler also said, sorry, Paul, but I was a huge fan of all those 80s slow movies, including Over the Top. So Wayne gets a vote this week.
Wow.
Okay.
There you are.
And Mike T, your cousin, said, blatant voting bot for Wayne. I have no idea about half the shit on both your lists.
I knew you'd read that one.
With Ashbrow. Yeah. Then saying what he said. And really? Wormbrow saying, I concur. And I'm like, how many fucking cousins does Wayne have?
I'm surprised y'all don't know these old ass. Actually, you're young.
Josh Ragland said, vote to Wayne. If Paul doesn't see the brilliance of arm wrestling and the way turning a cap around your head for strength and inspiration can inspire us all, he doesn't deserve my vote despite the rest of his list.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. In the over the top, Sylvester Stallone is wearing a cap the normal way. And then he actually says to the camera, when I turn the cap around, I like turn into a different, something like that. It was really funny.
Chris Yeady, patron of the show, said, Paul gets it for having his namesake, Mr. Paul Kersey, in Death Wish 3 lower. And there was a few people who voted for me on that simple basis.
Really?
As well. Yes.
Man, Death Wish 3 sucked.
There we are. That is it for this week's recount. Except to say, Wayne, we have a sponsor. We're in partnership with Manscaped.
Manscaped. Everyone, have you ever tried using a razor to shave your ball sack and or undercarriage? I have, and I in fact did it recently.
Oh my...
I know. I have about, I would say a month and a half ago, I'm like, okay, better clean up down there. And let's put it this way. It's not just your ball. It's not just your sack. It's the underside.
How, I don't.
All right, let me tell you how. Right?
No, don't, how works, don't tell her how.
No, I know. Here's how it works, right? What you got to do is in the shower, you got to soap up your whole crack and undercarriage, right? You got to do it real like good.
Right? Day in and why for you?
Well, I like to do that. Like, I want to keep it clean, right? So, well,
I guess you play around down there so
well,
much.
Well, it's respect for yourself, Paul. But then here's
and whoever you have down there.
No, I'm just saying itself, right? Now what you got to do is put one leg on the side of like up on something. Like if you've got one of those, I've got a bathtub shower. So I just what that does is it spreads kind of your asshole and the undercarriage, and then you gotta grab the razor from back to front.
Why do I have Kells?
All right. Now that's what I used to do, Paul. And frankly, the danger of cutting is quite prevalent, and you've got to go real clear on that shit. And it's tough. It takes a while.
But
too.
Not with the lawnmower 4.0.
Not with 4.0, because once I got that shit from Manscaped, this high end shit. It's a ceramic blade, so far less likely for you to cut it down there, okay? And there's a light that lights up your taint in your hole. Wireless charging, son.
Water resistant,
great.
You can use it in the shower.
Dude, go in my bathroom right now. You check that shit out. There's actually a cradle just set up among all the other shit I got to recharge. And it looks cool, too, because it's black, everyone. Black. Basic black. Very cool.
So if you're in the market, or you know your loved one would like you to be in the market for this, what are you going to do, Wayne?
What you're going to do is you're going to go to manscaped.com or just Google Manscaped. There's a link in the show notes. Don't worry about
that
it.
That too.
Then purchase the Lawnmower 4.0 pack with 20% off from the Countdown podcast by putting in CDPC20 at checkout. That's all you got to do.
Free delivery too.
Free delivery.
All the way from the States if you're not living there.
Came right over here. Yep. All right. And then right to my asshole and crack. So
from Manscaped's door to your crack. That's what we are offering
no
you
nothing.
Today.
You're just chilling, man. That's it. So everyone will thank you. Your own nuts will thank you. But then anyone who sees your nuts will thank you.
Will thank you. Yeah. There we are. That's it for the plug today. Let's get into our predictions on what's going to happen in the Oscars. On the other side of this.
Okay.
All right, Wayne, what do you want to start with on this one?
Well, I feel like we should build up to the best picture.
Yeah, that's
what makes sense. You know, so why don't we try, let's see, we're doing best supporting actor and actress.
Sounds good.
Let's start that one.
All right, well, I'll kick it off with best supporting actor. I think this one is going to go to Troy Kotsur.
Are we
going to
do here's the people nominated and here's who you think?
Yeah, we're going head and heart.
Head and heart.
We're gonna do. Okay. If you've got all the nominees, read through them real fast.
The nominees are Ciaran Hinds in Belfast, Troy Kotsur from Coda, Jesse Plemons from The Power of the Dog, J.K. Simmons on Being the Ricardos, and Cody Smit-McPhee from The Power of the Dog also.
So for me, it's Troy Kotsur for Coda.
What is Coda, Paul?
Coda is Children of Deaf Adults. That's what it stands for.
Really? And what is it about?
He would be the first deaf man to win an Oscar in history. Come on.
So, deaf adults. I thought you said deaf adults. I'm like, is this one of your fucking horror films?
No. All right. Deaf. Nominated for Academy Award.
Yeah, very impressive.
So, Head and Heart. I think he'll win. I think he should win. Not that I've seen his film. I've probably only seen The Power of the Dog in that list
I've
of films.
I've not seen a lot of these.
I should actually emphasize, I've seen very few of the Oscar nominees this year. I think this is a really average year of Oscar nominees. I'm not at all excited by most of the films that are here. The ones that aren't have no chance of winning.
It's bearing the brunt of the whole like post-COVID shakeoff where they just stopped making, releasing them. Fair enough.
So I think it's arguably a weak field in many areas, and therefore I'm not interested. I'm not going to sit through, like, 2 or 3 years ago, I watched them all bar one. This year, no thanks.
No, man, you got to really be interested in that shit. So fair enough. Okay, well, for me, I haven't seen Coda, but Jesse Plemons.
Have you seen The Power of the Dog?
I have not. Have you seen it?
Yes.
What do you think?
He won't win.
Okay. So,
but anyway, what's your heart?
My heart's J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, why not? He's great. Yeah. What was his film?
His film is Being the Ricardos, where he doesn't play Ricky Ricardo. He plays William Frawley or something.
Okay. So, yeah. All right, fair enough. Best supporting actress then?
Best supporting actresses. Our nominees are Jessie Buckley, The Lost Daughter, Ariana DeBose, West Side Story, Judy Dench, Belfast, Kirsten Dunst, The Power of the Dog, Anya Ellis for King Richard as... Yeah, her. Obviously. Right. Yeah, go on.
One of the Williams sisters. Oh, the mum, I'm not sure.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what do you got? You go first, sister.
I'm going with, my head is just Judy Dench. Belfast is getting a lot of fucking props. So we'll see how that goes. Yep. And my heart is Kirsten Dunst, baby. Yeah. I love her.
Also my heart, because, you know,
she's lovely.
Big crushes on her when we were younger. But my head's going for Ariana DeBose for West Side Story. Apparently all the smart money's on her. She's lock.
I've actually seen West Side Story.
Oh, what'd you think?
Yeah. Don't see it, first of all.
Zero interest.
But I'll tell you that Steven Spielberg has made it as good as it can be. It looks like an old film, but it's a new film. Right. And he makes very interesting choices.
So the role that she was in, won in whatever year it was, the West Side Story came out. So there's a lot of romantic kind of follow-up to that.
She's not the lead then, because the real lead is Maria.
No, best supporting actress.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, supporting. Yeah, okay, yes. Okay, of course. All right, yeah.
Cool. Okay, shall we go to best actor?
Best actor. All right. The nominees are Javier Bardem for Being the Ricardos as Desi Arnaz.
Okay. Yep.
Benedict Cumberbatch is The Power of the Dog.
Yep.
Andrew Garfield, Tick, Tick, Boom. Will Smith, King Richard. Denzel Washington in The Tragedy of Macbeth. What are you thinking, Paul? Who's in your head?
My head is absolutely Will Smith for King Richard.
Yeah? Yep. You think it's his year?
Yep, playing Richard Williams.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
How is it?
It's good. It's really? Not great.
Yeah.
But the best thing about it is him by a mile.
Definitely.
Like he... Oh, he's in almost every scene. There's a lot of tennis scenes with the kids playing and whatever else. But it's all about him. And obviously the film's titled about him.
Yeah, and signed off by the Williams sisters, yeah.
Yeah, and he transforms himself. Yes, you know it's Will Smith because it's Will Smith. He's one of the biggest actors in the world. Mm. But he really does adopt the mannerisms of what I've seen of Richard Williams very well.
Okay, cool. I'm kind of interested in that one. It's a nice one.
It's also my heart pick because who doesn't want Will Smith to have a bit of a win?
Who? William Smith? Will Smith?
Will Smith, yeah. I'm happy for him to win too.
Wait, you dig Will Smith out? I thought you didn't like him.
No.
What the hell?
Oh, no. I'm sure you put your foot in your ass a couple of times.
No!
Wait, what do you see? How do you feel about the Apocalypse with the Dog movie? What's that called?
I Am Legend. Film's fine and shit.
Really?
Yeah.
I like the ending of it.
Well, no, sorry. The ending's fine, but not the bullshit other ending that they've gone with, which may be now leading us to I Am Legend 2.
No, he died at the end of the first one.
Yeah, not in the alternate take, he didn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So it's Talkie's back for Iron Legend 2.
Well, see, I'm seeing the descent here. Okay.
Don't get me wrong, he was terrible in After Earth, and he's had some bad, bad films, but he's also had some great films. He was one of the only good things about Suicide Squad.
Well, you know, I haven't read a lot about what people are saying, but the one thing I have heard is that Power of the Dog is getting a lot of chatter.
For sure.
So my head says Benadryl Cumslut will get it. However.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's a warm follow-up.
Mm-hmm, runner-up favorite. Mm-hmm. But I would like Andrew Garfield to get it.
Ooh, okay.
I like him a bit. I think he's nice.
You can send me screenshots of this later for comparisons next week.
Word.
Best actress, Wayne.
Best actresses is Jessica Chastain, Isa Tamifay, Olivia Colman, The Lost Daughter, Penelope Cruz, Parallel Mothers, Nicole Kidman being the Ricardos, and Kristen Stewart as Spencer.
What do you reckon, Wayne?
My head tells me Kristen Stewart. I think this is a off to the side kind of, hey, oh, that's right, the Diana story. That's cool. And my heart is, of course, Jessica Chastain.
My head's Jessica Chastain for The Eyes of Tammy
Faye. Oh, really? Cool.
Again, I've heard some buzz about it, but apparently this one's not a lock at all. This could be anybody's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my heart is, well, just Nicole Kidman because she's an Aussie.
Yeah, good call.
I haven't seen a single one of those movies. I've seen bits of Spencer, but couldn't even bring myself to watch the whole thing.
I don't have any problem with fucking Nicole Kidman. A lot of people do.
Yeah, I don't.
I think she's lovely.
Yeah. All right. Best adapted screenplay?
The nominees are Coda, Drive My Car, Dune, The Lost Daughter, and The Power of the Dog. So what's your head telling you, Paul?
My head tells me Jane Campion's going to win for The Power of the Dog, despite her bad, bad,
me too,
ridiculous statements around herself to the Williams sisters.
Did she say some shit like that?
Yeah, saying, you just have to beat women. I had to beat men and women. fucking dumbass.
Shit. Well, Hollywood.
Yeah.
What's your heart telling you then?
June.
You know what? I had an issue with you. I have only seen June out of these, right? So that's the only reason
I've seen Power the Dog in June.
Yeah. So that's the only reason I picked it. I actually don't.
Fair enough. So we're dead even on that one.
I don't like June that much, but anyway, go on. I know.
All right, original screenplay.
Original screenplay. The nominees are Belfast, Don't Look Up, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, and The Worst Person in the World.
I haven't even seen this film, but I've read a bunch of articles that suggest Licorice Pizza.
Licorice Pizza in the head as well. Yep. Yeah, that's what I said as well too.
Heart, I just went for King Richard because I didn't hate that movie.
Okay, Heart, I'm going with The Worst Person in the World because...
You've seen it?
How shall I put this? I've seen some of it.
Okay.
Okay. And I just never got back to it. And I really wanted the way the story was, I reckon I'll like this film because it's cool. Yeah. So anyway. Yes, there you are. Next category.
Director?
Director. Director?
This one seems to be an absolute lock.
Really? Okay. So yep. Kenneth Branagh, Belfast, Ryosuke Hamaguchi, Paul Thomas Anderson, Jane Campion, and Steven Spielberg. For their respective.
What are you going for head-wise, Wayne?
Head is Belfast.
So Kenneth Branagh?
Yeah, Kenneth Branagh.
And
my heart is West Side Story because I actually kind of... I don't know why I feel this way.
He's defending himself.
No, but I feel like Steven Spielberg needs another Oscar.
Right.
He's still doing good work.
Okay.
Let's keep him interested.
I disagree. Not that I've seen West Side Story because maybe it's amazing.
Go on.
But his last films, The Post and Bridge of Spies, both of which got very close to my list for this week's
topic. I don't mind either of those films.
They're both horrendously average. There's nothing spectacular about either of them. Only reason they were nominated is because his name was attached and he had some names in there acting in it.
Yeah, look, I'm not disagreeing. Oscars is very political. Oscars is very political, so fair enough.
That's my opinion, anyway. Right. I've gone for Jane Campion to win in a landslide. And I also think, you know what? She's the first woman to ever be nominated twice for Best Director after The Piano in 1994. Where she had zero fucking chance of winning up against Steven Spielberg with Schindler's List. So her time has come, just stupid comments aside, and I think she'll win Best Director for sure.
Well, she did beat Men and Women, Paul.
Yes. So. And lastly then, Best Picture.
Best Picture, Belfast, Coda, Don't Look Up, Drive My Car, Dune, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, Nightmare Alley. Really? Nightmare Alley?
Exactly.
The Power of the Dog, and West Side Story.
Nightmare Alley only got nominated because Guillermo del Toro is a past Oscar winner for The Shape of Water. That's the only
political
reason.
Political shit!
But of course, I didn't pick that one. I went again. I think The Power of the Dog is probably going to win.
Agreed.
Although I would not be 100% shocked if Belfast snuck in there.
Yep.
And my heart is June. It's easily my favorite of the ones that I've watched.
We're going to have such a good show after this. Don't Look Up is my heart.
Oh, yeah.
I like that shit, man. The sting joke. Very funny. Farts. All right.
And what's your head?
My head was Power of the Dog.
Power of the Dog.
Yeah.
Okay, there we are. All right, cool. We've got a few dissensions there and differentiations. If we were talking about the technical category, cinematography, June for sure. Score, June for me, for Hans Zimmer as well. So just as a throw it out there, that's what I'll be picking and hoping are going to win in those categories.
Nice one.
Okay, that's it for this part of the, well, unusual part of the show, I should say. Let's get into the countdown proper on the other side of this.
The worst 10 best picture nominees ever. Something.
Is the subject of this week's countdown. Worst 10 best picture nominees.
That's it, right?
Okay, good. More best picture nominees if you really need to. It's pretty self-explanatory. I will be honest, most of my list comes from the time I've been watching films. Like, I don't know whether the 40s... I've seen a couple of these ones in the IMDb Top 250 that either won or were nominated from a long time ago. And they're absolutely boring as fuck. But they're from a different time.
Agree.
And to be honest, a big criticism of most of these films on this list for me today are that they are also boring as fuck. So I decided to pick on the ones that are more contemporary.
It is a bit tough, though, because when you look at these, you're like, well, you know, the ones that were nominated, if they were nominated at all, they were at least on some level not the worst thing you've ever seen. So then to rag on, like, you may really disagree with a few, but 10 is tough. So sometimes you got to put a few up high. That's what I say.
All right, well, do you want to take us away?
Yeah, okay.
Your number 10?
My number 10 is, I'm going to piss a few people off with this, Joker. Joker.
Yep.
Okay. So look, the problem with the Joker, everyone, was that, okay, it looked great. Okay. And we all say this. It looked great. So great film, cinematography. Fantastic. Okay, good. The problem is I couldn't find my way into the film enough to buy into it. This is the success of Joker is the Joaquin Phoenix performance.
Yeah, 100%.
But the failure of the Joker is that all it is Joaquin Phoenix's performance. I felt that the movie and the script doesn't support him and what he's doing that well. And so when you see the dancing and shit like that after something happens, I didn't understand why he was dancing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't, and then it became a very long thing, and it just outstayed its welcome for me. So I kind of appreciated the film more than I liked it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's how it is. So that's why I think The Joker was an odd choice, although I see why they nominated it. The Marty Scorsese thing.
Yeah, look, I hear where you're coming from, but my number 10, oddly enough, is my replacement for The Joker. It's a film which I liked far less than The Joker, which is all built around the performance of one amazing, admittedly amazing actor. Who's good in everything that he's ever been in. But yet people fawn over, and I know I'm going to lose this list because I've got some choices here that really piss people off.
No, it's going to piss a lot of people off, this stuff.
This one is one of those films. Film snobs, film aficionados love this movie, and I do not understand why. It's Paul Thomas Anderson's There Will Be Blood.
So this is the Daniel Day-Lewis one, yeah.
He's really good in it.
Which I haven't seen.
But
go on, yeah.
It's 2 hours and 38 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it's just watching Daniel Day-Lewis do Daniel Day-Lewis things. The story about, you know, a silver miner turned ore prospector who basically moves in and does wheeling and dealings and is ruthless and a prick and effectively, I don't want to spoil the film, but runs into a local preacher who tries to expose him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the whole, yeah.
It's just not that interesting.
Let me ask you this. If the film was 90 minutes, better?
Yes.
Yes?
Because unfortunately, for me, one great acting performance can't sustain a film for 2.5 hours.
A la Joker. All right? So,
but I think Joker is significantly shorter than 2 hours and 38, minutes. Not significantly, maybe 20 minutes shorter, 25 minutes shorter.
That's the thing. These directors, they just like hearing themselves write. That's how it goes. So I've not seen it, so I can't really add bit to it. But
people love this film. It's 4.4 stars. So I know I've just lost half the audience because, you know, I've gone over the top.
Only the aficionados like Deepal.
Anyway, so that's
all right.
Got to be honest. There's no point. I've established over 363 episodes of this show. My taste in film and There Will Be Blood is not it.
Okay, fair enough. Now here's where we have a problem, Paul. My number 9 is Dune. Oh shit! All right, yo,
hot,
yo,
damn,
yo. All right, so I saw Dune before Paul. I'm sorry, and I remember saying, I was like looking at it going, and again, we've talked about this since, and basically because I did not see it on a big screen, it definitely had an effect for me, so there is a factor of that, absolutely. However, I will tell you that this movie is kind of not that compelling, okay? It's a sci-fi epic, and it boasts like definitely some, you know, a film's worth of giant sandworms, spaceships. There's a lot of cutting away in the middle of action to some tranquil flashback shit. I'm not sure that I'm here for that. I'm like, what is this? And then I think there was a stage at the bottom, second act, late second act. I'm like, this thing's dragging.
Dynamite drop in money.
Bro.
And broadcast
bro,
school is really paid off.
Hans score pissed me off a bit, man.
Whoa!
Hans score pissed me off a bit. That's right. No. It's like the score bursts out like, wah, it's called a prayer. Like, oh no, fucking yeah, yeah. I'm like, what the fuck?
Were you doing Dune or Lion King there?
That was a little bit of a, no, that was Dune. It's basically this prayer ass sing like a song that it was loud and it pissed me off a couple times. So I'm like, I gave this thing like
stunning
50s. Ooh, I said I don't know. I'm like 57 out of 100 for production design alone because I got bored.
The production design's incredible. The score's amazing. Don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Cinematography is off the chain. The practical effects in this movie, or the seamless integration of visual and practical effects. Basically, what I'm trying to say is it's a technical marvel, this film. Yes, it's a little slow and could have been better in that regard, but it's not.
2.5 hours, Paul. 2.5 hours.
It's not terrible. And I thought the action set pieces were great. I thought the growth of the main character was great. I enjoyed Jason Momoa's turn as the sort of action sidekick in this movie.
It was cool.
Man, there's a lot to like about this film. I'm keen as fuck to see it again in 4K.
Yeah, I'm not like, I say that I just disliked this viewing I saw of it. And again, we'll talk about the screen, sure. But I think this is one of those things that happens every now and then, you and me, where I see something and I pan it, and then you go, this is gonna be a piece of shit, and then you see it and it's really good, but it's better than you
when you watch it on 28 inches, Wayne. 32, whatever your screen
29
is. 29
inches,
please.
Actually, wait, yes, it's 29. So, I understand completely. Look, here's the problem, because it's so long, I don't know if I'm gonna give it another go, but I guess I'll see the sequel. How's that? Word.
Yeah. That's why it won't win Best Picture, because it's not a complete story.
And I know lots of you out there love Dune and you just put your foot in my ass. I understand and I accept you.
Believe me, there's more foot going in ass happening in this particular episode. My number 9, Wayne, it's very strange that you had Dune there, because my number 9 is my most overrated film that I've seen from this race for the Oscars this year. It's Don't Look Up. Does not
Don't Look Up's great, my motherfucker.
Does not in any
fantastic
way, shape, or form deserve an Academy Award nomination.
Don't look up so good, man.
In any category.
Yo, that ending was the most wistful ending I've experienced on some theater
Can't
shit,
spoil
man.
It. Otherwise, I'd be like, what?
Dude, I thought it was perfect. The way it was handled with the music, note perfect. And I'm like, oh my God, look at that. And you should like it because it's not a wimp out ending. I'm just saying, motherfucker.
Anywho. So. Preachy, over the top, on the nose,
preachy
boring,
though, is it really?
Very, very long. How long is this? 138 minutes.
Scintillating minutes.
Adam McKay is over-exaggerated.
Love
and I honestly believe it just doesn't do it for me. Doesn't do it for me, is what I'm trying to say.
So, okay.
His style of filmmaking where I'm really exaggerating the point that I want to make over and over again. And it smashes you in the face with the allegory that's behind it.
But if it's entertaining the whole time.
Well, for you it was entertaining. For me it was meh. I'm not saying it's terrible. I think I gave this film 2.5 stars.
A lot of these are like that. You're like,
but it's not best picture worthy.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, okay.
That's where I'm coming from.
I think there'll be a lot of people on your team with that one because I think I've heard that rhetoric a couple times. But yeah, I love me some.
I've heard that it could be a really good chance to win best original screenplay. So yeah, there's clearly a dissension out, or people who do love it out there.
Right. Now, everyone, if you're one of those fancy moviegoers that goes to the movie cinemas that sell you champagne and popcorn, you know. You're gonna get
I'd
pissed.
Like to go to maybe not champagne, but beer and popcorn.
Palace gives you. Palace is like champagne and popcorn. Very ritzy. But my number 8, it's going to piss you off. Roma. It's Roma.
Yeah.
Now, here it is. Okay, everyone. Roma, in case anyone doesn't know, Roma is about Cleo, this maid, who's like one of two domestic workers, and they help this couple. And complications arise when the man of the house runs away with his mistress. Then Cleo's got a bun in the oven. And then it's a drama of that sort. Now, I think that on one level, I'm not classy enough to like this film. It's black and white. It's foreign. It's all those things. And I'm like, no, but let me understand why it happened. And then I'm watching, like, I saw a trailer for it. I said, oh, that could be interesting. And then it ended up not being interesting. I found it just straight up boring. And
I think I'd rather eat some pins.
Anyone who's new, that is the sound effect of me yes. That pulls in direct on me. There was a lot of shots of dog shit. That I was like kind of confused about. I'm like, okay, well, okay.
It's a metaphor, but okay.
I know. I understand where they're going with that, but it was.
You're like,
what have I done to deserve this bullshit? Dog shit.
Almost.
I think the centerpiece of the film is when the dude does martial arts like fucking kendo with a bow staff and his cock is hanging out and he's doing this very like vigorous like kata and his dick is like, and I'm sitting there going, how am I not going to look at his dick in this scene? So I'm thinking, I looked at a dick for like 2 minutes. And frankly, Paul, I didn't appreciate it.
So apparently loosely based on Alfonso Cuarón's upbringing dick? Himself.
Oh, okay, right.
You know, and his ode to his own maid in his own household growing up.
Is that why I found it really uninteresting and then like...
I agree with you. This film was also too long. And it was very arty, but I do think it was beautiful. Its technical achievements really made up for what it lacked in the storyline, as far as I'm concerned.
It did look beautiful. I will remember that I saw that, but...
That's why it's not on my list, but I do see why it's on
you. It only got me so far, so there you are.
Fair enough. My number 8's going to lose me whatever chance I had at one Nicholas Haskins vote.
Ah, fair enough.
It's a film that I did with him as a side project when he was still on the Epic Film Guys and we were kind of going back and forth. This is a film he loves. It's Alexander Payne's Sideways from 2004.
You don't like it?
Look, I just thought it was really, really meh.
Okay, let's talk about Sideways, Paul.
Sideways basically follows Paul Giamatti and Thomas Hayden Church's characters, Ned from
yep,
Ned and Stacey, as they go off on Thomas Hayden Church's Bucks weekend.
That's right. Into wine country.
Wine country. And he's a piece of shit who's quite happy to sleep with other women on his Bucks weekend away.
Including Sandra Oh.
Yes. And Paul Giamatti has no, what's the word looking for here? Backbone.
Game. Oh.
Or game. Or he's
a bookish, small sort of like man.
Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti. Exactly.
And he hooks up, sort of wants to hook up with Virginia Madsen.
Right.
Yeah. And I just like, who cares?
Okay, so
it's not funny. It's got some things to say about asshole dudes and I guess toxic masculinity, but like, really? There's nothing stand out about this film at all.
I actually feel your pain on this, Paul, and I'll tell you why. Even though I don't like, I do understand why I like it and why people liked it. So Sideways is a buddy film, but it's more than that. What it does is, and this is fucking clever, Paul.
Okay.
It puts itself in the context of the wine industry. They're in Napa Valley or wherever. They're going to the wine country in America, and it becomes this wine thing. And there's a whole theme in the film about Paul Giamatti doesn't like Pinot Noir. Sorry, he likes Pinot Noir, and he hates Merlot. Right? I hate fucking Merlot. Hate Merlot, right? This movie then had such a pinch in the wine community. It was so big. I went to the Napa Valley and talked to a girl, a vineyard girl there, and she said after that movie came out, the bottom fell out of the Merlot industry.
Really?
Yeah. Like, seriously, Jesus. They couldn't give it away. And now it's back again, but like that. So this is that kind of shit. And what happened is because ritzy motherfuckers, Paul, all drink wine and know about wine.
And I don't do wine.
I don't do it either, right? I'll swill it around and go, ooh, petrol. Doesn't fucking mean shit because I don't know what I'm talking about. But they then championed this film as a wine lover's film. And trust me, wine lovers really like themselves. They like themselves a lot. And they like their knowledge of wine even more. So then it becomes like an Oscar darling. That's how it came with the list, Paul. That's how it happened. The rich people won, Paul. That's what happened.
Honestly, and the ending of this film where there's no comeuppance for basically anybody.
Oh, you know what that ending was about?
Does my fucking head in.
When he's at the altar and he looks at Thomas Hayden Church and he looks back at each other, instead of like, oh, Thomas Hayden Church gets his comeuppance, the moment you are supposed to have is, you're my friend, and even though you do sport fucking and it gets us all into trouble, I forgive you. And that's why it became that kind of film, okay? Yep. It's that shit. I know, not for you, not for you. Yeah.
Not for me. Sorry, Nick. Sorry, I know you love it. And apparently, if you love wine, that's half the battle. So.
It's more than half the battle. All right, my number seven, everyone, is a film that I found fucking boring. It's called Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World.
Jesus, that movie's fucking boring. Have I got some boring ass shit to share with you?
Oh, no, it's high on the list still. Everyone, it's about... Apparently, there was a bunch of books written about this, and it's a very popular series among a lot of people.
Yep.
And it's got Russell Crowe and Vision. They're this like captain, and basically it's back in the 1805 kind of shit in the HMS Surprise, and these guys are ordered to hunt down and capture a powerful French vessel off the South American coast. It is a old nautical thing where the captain and his first mate play the fiddle in the captain's quarters, and frankly I thought that was kind of cool. But every other thing, this movie
can it be award worthy?
Not. No, nothing happens in this film. All we're giving it throughout the film is nice visuals. There's a bit of a theme here, okay? Bunch of actors talking in butchered accents, frankly. And never once do you have a formulated story. There's actually no, like, middle, beginning, and end in this film. The last act is just they're still sailing. That's it! I'm like, what the fuck happened here? So, bit of bloodshed.
Meant to be the first in a series of films, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, it seemed... Really? Mm. Well, I think I've heard rumblings that they might be coming back on this one.
Well, right? I think 15 or 16... What year was this?
1805.
No, sorry. No.
Oh, no, it's a long, long time ago.
Well, what film was it? What year was it made?
I don't know.
I want to say 2004 is my guess.
Hang on. 2003. Good call.
Yeah, so 20 years later, virtually, this ain't coming back with Russell Crowe anyway in the role.
Plus, Russell Crowe could play the ship. He's fucking huge now.
HMS Rusty.
There's none of this fucking, oh, Captain, back from the trip. Jesus, Captain, what happened? How come we need a bigger boat, bitch? That's how that's going to go. So, yeah. That's
we're going to need a bigger boat for sure. All right. My number, just continue with my Adam McKay love. My number seven is Vice.
Fuck off! A lot of people in the fucking chats are talking about this shit as well, okay? Vice with Christian Bale playing Dick Cheney.
Yeah. Again, best thing about this film, Christian Bale.
This film was saw this by myself on a Saturday morning because I have no life, all right? And I remember going...
Such a lie. Christian Bale is unrecognizable, as he often does.
Agreed.
In these kind of films.
Amazing
incredible makeup, incredible. He's obviously stacked on a bit of weight to help with all that. Well done. Fair play. But again, one superlative performance does not make a film for me. I need some visual flourishes. I need interesting writing. I need plot developments. I need something that engages me in. Could not have given three shits about this film.
Don't you think it was funny that he kept having heart attacks like Dick Cheney really did? The way they played that was good. No? I liked even the end of this film, right? Spoilers, not really. The Dick Cheney character actually faces and talks to the camera.
Yeah, it didn't
that worked like a slut
for me.
What's
going to work for me? Freeze frames. Freeze frames with narration over the top.
Oh, that's fine.
Nope.
Them showing that George Bush was actually this little punk-ass bitch played by Sam Rockwell doing a really good job. I'm like, damn, now it all makes sense, man. He was just fucking trying to impress his dad the whole time. What? Anyway, I like that show.
Clearly.
Obviously not.
I didn't hate it. I think, did I give it 2 stars? Maybe I gave it 2.5 stars. But again, just completely, I think, meh. Had this film not been nominated for Academy Award, I'd be like, oh, that's fine. Moving on.
See, you can't win.
But it was.
You can't win. You're either so good to get an honor.
It didn't win.
You?
And it shouldn't. And it shouldn't have.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. All right. My number six, everyone, is a film called Crash.
Now, yes.
This.
Low.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So to me, this film is yelling to you over and over. Wow, racism sure is insidious, isn't it? That's it.
It's
That's the whole.
Bad.
Bad. And it sure is like inside you, even though you didn't think so. Now, look,
it's
I'll
so simplistic, this movie.
All it does is it shows you people being cunty and racist, and then it shows
and then
you
moments of redemption.
Yes, moments of redemption. Then all of a sudden, like Matt what's
Matt Damon pulls. Is it Tandy Newton? Whoever it is.
Tandy Newton, right? And basically, sexually abuses her during a stop, and then later on in the movie, he saves her from a burning car.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, so everyone's like, and it's
people are complex, Wayne.
People are complex. Woo! And this is in that Babel style fucking like, you know, like jagged
around,
sort of
jumping around between story lines, points how and stuff they interact. Like that.
It just beats you over the head. Yep. And
we're
it's
still in the Pulp Fiction influence of, oh, what if we just have different stories intersecting in random weird kind of ways?
Yeah. Did Pulp Fiction start that?
It certainly popularized it.
Yeah, popularized it. Okay. And the other thing is the characters in it are not relatable. They're just limp puppets, and then they kind of post in various moral scenarios, and then there's unsubtle airs, and it's just... I remember just going, I dislike how much this movie is, like, here's your vegetables, eat them, cunt, right? That kind of thing. So that was not for me.
You know, Paul Haggis, he may have even won Best Director, I can't remember for sure, on this film, but, like, he's done fuck all other films. He's only made 7 films.
Oh, yeah?
Like, The Next 3 Days with Russell Crowe and In the Valley of Elah with Tommy Lee Jones. Has he made another film since then? 2013, he made a film called Third Person with James Franco.
I hope there was a voiceover in that.
Took me a while, but I got there in the end.
There you go.
So yeah, he hasn't done a lot. And
actually, yeah, I've not heard of him again.
He's a weird... I mean, I'm sure he's produced films and worked behind the scenes on them or whatever else, but it's almost like, fuck you all, I got away with this and
I'm
done.
Did this win? Did it win?
It did.
It did win.
Yeah, it's a Academy Award winning film.
What year?
This one might be 2004. Yep.
Okay, so that means that this is still around. You're getting woker. You know, it's
yeah,
the start of the woke period.
I get why, and you know, the Oscars so white would have gone, oh, this is really important.
Exactly.
Hooray.
It's all political. Mm. It's a great smoking
man. It's just over the top. I don't see how we're not rewarding the Suicide Squad for being a masterclass in subtle filmmaking about, you know, armed forces and how they're used, yet this film was awarded for basically the same equivalent.
It's just that it's its attitude ways. That pisses me off. That's why it's on my list. So
fair totally. Enough. My number six is a film which sounded like a really great idea, admittedly to me. It's from Richard Linklater, who I have very little time for.
Don't mind a bit of Rich.
It's 166 fucking minutes long, and it was shot over 12 years, and that's the only reason it got anywhere with anything. It's called Boyhood.
All right, I didn't see it. You saw it. What is it about? Tell me, first of all, tell us the story.
Basically follows Mason Evans Jr. as he grows up with Ethan Hawke and Patricia Arquette as his parents. And they just came together and shot for 2 weeks every year for 12 years and then cut it into a film, which he kind of wove as he went along the way. And, you know, Ethan Hawke and Patricia Arquette break up and all this kind of shit
happens. Does it work, Paul?
No.
No?
No, it's all about its gimmick.
Yeah.
It's fucking phenomenally boring.
Oh, boring, really?
Oh, my God. Who gives a shit? It's a coming-of-age movie, but it's shot over 12 years. It feels 12 years long. It's like 12 years a slave, too.
You know, Ethan...
Sorry, that was inappropriate.
Ethan Hawke, right? Isn't it? Yeah?
Yeah.
So...
One of them, I think either he or she won Best Supporting Actress/Actress for this. I think maybe she won Best Supporting Actress for this film. They're all good. No one's bad in this movie, yeah. although he casts his own fucking daughter in it as a little sister. And I don't know. Once you know that about a film, I find it very hard not to be really critical about someone.
But that's probably like, because the lead is the boy, right?
Yes.
Who, and so being able to wrangle everyone every year for 12 years, like by putting his daughter in there, it's like, well, here's one I don't have to wrangle.
Well,
you know,
apparently he's been on a lot of movies, this guy. I don't recognize him. He looks like a young Peter Dinklage.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. And okay.
He was in The Circle.
That shitty Tom Hanks
film? Yeah.
Fuck! All right, that's why it's gone wrong. Wow, okay.
So he's popping up mostly in stuff that Richard Linklater has produced. I guess they've got a close working relationship. Good on him.
Side note, Ethan Hawke, I saw, when he was in that Ben Stiller movie, the Maya Sharona one, what's it called?
Oh, Reality Bites.
Reality Bites, right? I saw him in a music video recently. And I saw, because Ethan Hawke, I'm not sure about him. I'm like, how did he get up this high? Back then, he was such a beautiful man that everyone cast him. That's actually what happened. He was a good-looking bitch.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, I think that's like, you know, way to go. Your looks have gotten you this far.
Well, is it? I think he's playing the serial killer in a film coming out called The Black Phone, which we should probably do for this show.
Okay, cool. It's got to be better than Zeros and Ones, which is the worst film I've probably seen ever. So there you go.
Remember, it's on your worst of the year list. I saw it pop up in a discussion somewhere recently. Oh, just saying, what the shocking. Fuck? Who was it that shot that film again?
Some motherfucker.
Brilliant. Why would you go anywhere else for informed discussion about films?
At the end of that film, Ethan Hawke actually explains to the camera why it sucks. That's how bad that film is.
Someone of note.
It's part of the movie.
Is it Abel? Not Abel Ferreira. Who is it? Come on, Wayne. Who directed that film? Because he only got on board because of the name behind the film. I'm sure.
Well, they misspelled zeros and ones in the title, which is already very bad for me.
Oh, how do you spell it then?
Well, there's an E on there, motherfucker. Instead of Z-E-R-O-S.
Oh, yeah. It is. Directed by Abel Ferreira. I was right.
There you are, man. Well done.
All right. All right, wait, what's your next one up?
All right, my number five is it's from a director I respect, but this director I've always said literally goes, good film, shit film, good film, shit film, good film, shit film. Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah.
Okay. And this was, to me, not shit, but shittier. Traffic.
Oh, Traffic. Really?
Yeah. Wow. Everyone fucking lost their fucking juice about Traffic when it came out. Everyone was like, this is the best thing ever. It's watching me. And then it's like Michael Douglas and motherfucking...
Michael Douglas.
Topher Grace. But like, it's a drugs ass film, right? Don Cheadle, all this kind of... No. Yeah, Don Cheadle, yeah. Anyway, so it's about all this... Sorry.
I'm sure John Teal's in it.
There's a lot of stars, people. I was getting confused. All it did really was, for all of this, like, I was expecting, like, this some cop story and fucking action and this kind of thing. All it really was is telling you that, okay, Michael Douglas is a doctor and his daughter gets hooked on heroin. And then the only thing that this movie brought me was there was a moment where Michael Douglas finds his daughter cracked out in some fucking crack den and she's been a hoe or some shit. Her life has been ruined by heroin and he just has this look on his face and he kind of just like, oh my God, he's trying to save his daughter. Like, then I think that's the day I actually went, I'm not having kids. I'm not strong enough to be that man and do that thing.
Traffic is the reason there are no little Arouzus running around the world.
So you should all thank Traffic. So, yes, but other than that.
That Wayne knows of.
It's just one of those. it's just one of those celebrated fucking movies that.
You've got a Wayne Arouzu.
You're full of shit, cunt. All right. So, yes, anyway, I was like, what's the big deal? So Traffic, I don't know why it got there.
Wow, that's harsh.
So you like it, huh?
Look, I've never watched it since I saw it the first time, but I thought it was powerful, I thought it was engaging, and I thought it was an eye-opener.
Yeah, I'm going to piss a lot of people off, I think.
Believe me, my big punches are coming. Started with There Will Be Blood, and then I've sucker-punched a few people and, you know, just a few jabs. But here's another easy jab. No one's going to argue about this one. The Godfather Part 3 is my number 5.
Oh, really?
The only reason The Godfather Part 3 gets nominated for fucking anything is because of The Godfather and The Godfather Part 2.
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is a good call because, damn, right? Damn.
What a massive drop away. Again, this film came out in 1990. Probably last watched it in 2000. I think I've only seen it twice. But I remember clearly enough how bad the performances are, particularly for the new cast as compared to what we got in the originals.
Yeah.
As well as the fact that we really seem to be trying to desperately join dots to reach the conclusion of this movie. Like, nothing feels real and earned in this movie.
I remember the Sophie Coppola.
Yeah, she's terrible.
But that was a weird thing about this.
Once again, like, nepotism at its finest.
What happened with this film? What? Because after two, everyone says that's the world's most perfect movie. And then what? It was just like, did he always want to do it?
And we're talking, what are we talking, 16 years between?
Yeah.
This is before this shit happens regularly now.
Yeah.
Where exactly. We're rebooting shit all the time. This is like... Perhaps the original, I mean, it's a sequel. It's not even saying it's a reboot call, but
no,
16 years is a long time between drinks.
Well, Marlon Brando was just completely different. Was he?
He wasn't even in this one. He was dead.
Wasn't? Oh, yeah, that's right. He wasn't. Sorry. There you go.
Al Pacino is now elderly. He's kind of become the Marlon Brando.
That's right.
You know, Diane Keaton is I can't even remember if she's still his wife, but, you know, Andy Garcia is the young up and comer now.
See, that's the thing. I don't remember a thing about the third one. You're right. There you are. Just so if you got
Whereas, points. How many different scenes can you bring to mind from The Godfather and Godfather Part 2? In fact, I find those films almost interchangeable because I watch them both close together and they're both brilliant. And so in my mind, it's one five-hour film.
Oh, interesting. Well, the thing about the second one was motherfucking, it's a flashback kind
yes,
of thing.
We're going back to
old country.
Vito's establishment as Robert De Niro and coming into America and all the rest of it.
I was because I only saw The Godfather like as a part of the show. I'd never seen it before.
Yeah, you were forced to, I think.
It was. And I was like, holy shit, they're doing this. That's what they did back then. Very cool.
And I know they're 70s films and it's a bit slower paced or whatever, but when the big things happen in those movies, they really pay off.
Yeah, you're interested enough.
Whereas this film was like, we're just getting to the point where Michael dies. Hooray.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, nice one, brother.
Okay.
My number four.
Yep.
Is The Lord of the Rings Return of the King.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay, all right, listen up. Listen up, everyone. Just hang on. Hang on, hang on, right? Just hang on. Hang on.
I thought my number three was going to be hot sauce. Everyone relax. Jesus Christ. All right. How dare you.
Here it is, boy.
Sir.
Here it is, all right? Lord of the Ring, first one, awesome first film, and I liked The Two Towers, all right? Now, I start, like, everyone's shitting their pants over number three. What's going to go on? What up? The film obviously has merit. But hang on.
Merit.
But I was pissed off and bored by the end. And someone actually, I remember you and fucking Christian said, yo, this isn't the shit. Yeah, it's good. And then I get there, and I'm like, weird things are happening in this film. For example, Paul, all right?
Take it back!
I don't know if this happened in the real book or not. I don't know that shit.
No,
right? I've never read it, right? I don't care either, right?
Read all these books.
This movie, Frodo sends Sam away halfway through the fucking film. And the way he did it, it did not work for me. The fact that when he sends Sam away, that's out of character. Secondly, Sam left, also out of character. It actually cringed. I was sitting there going, that doesn't work. Fine. Okay. Let's just look at that. Then the king, the Denethor, that king guy. I have read this because I read this, in this movie, that king goes nuts. He just starts going fucking insane over like two scenes. Then he stands on a burning thing. He's trying to set himself on fire and shit.
Is that the horse king dude?
Yeah, Denethor. I'm not sure if he's the horse king. Anyway, he's the weird guy. Apparently in the book, there's this like fucking crystal ball and shit that he actually, and that actually explains why he went there. But in the movie, he just went ping like that. All of a sudden, he's nuts. And I went, okay, that doesn't work for me. And then, of course, it took 8 hours to end. There you go. Now, I know there was a lot of shit that they cut out from the book.
Where is your honor, dirtbag? You are an absolute disgrace.
I think I was bored by it made me bored of the trilogy.
Jesus.
By the time I know. I mean, look, to be fair, I've only seen it once. So, you know, pinch of salt and all that shit. But there you are.
Well,
I was not a fan.
There's only one synopsis sound effect. Well, Wayne's cunt. Moving on.
I told you, Paul. This is yours. Take it.
No. One number four. We'll bounce straight back to you. Here's where I had Crash.
Crash.
So it's our first crossover and probably our only one. There might be one other one. Maybe. Maybe.
It'll be interesting. All right. Well, my number three is a film that a lot of women said to me when it came out, you should watch this. Why? I just think you'll like it.
Okay.
Moulin Rouge. Now,
never watched it. Otherwise, I'm sure it would be on my list.
This is the thing. I never watched it back then. And then I only watched it maybe 5 years ago. All right. And it's about a young Englishman played by Ewan McGregor. And he becomes infatuated with Satine, which is a singer at the Moulin Rouge played by Nick.
Yep. Nicole Kidman. Yep.
And it's some drama that goes like that. Basically, it's like
Baz Luhrmann over the top shit.
Baz Luhrmann over the top stuff. Now, Baz has done some work. Baz has done Romeo and Juliet.
I've never seen a good Baz. I know you like Romeo and Juliet. I don't. I've never seen a good Baz Luhrmann movie.
How about that Chanel commercial?
Australia. Fucking awful. I haven't seen The Great Gatsby.
You know, Strictly Ballroom is actually really popular overseas. I know. Anyway.
I've never seen that whole film either.
Yeah? Yeah.
And now he's doing Elvis next. Not interested.
I'm down with Elvis, man. I'm going to see that Elvis film. Although the guy doesn't look a lot like Elvis.
Probably have to do it for the fucking show. I will hate it.
Do you like Elvis in general? Elvis is fucking great, man. Anyway.
Look, I understand he's going to win this race.
Hey, Elvis, you want some lemonade? Lemonade. We're doing Delirious, everyone.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. So, sorry, but about this film here. Now, Paul and I talked about this, and I think it can work, but it didn't in this movie where you use modern songs at its time, or at least songs that were out of period with that thing, they make it work.
The French song.
Huh? Yeah, they were doing David Bowie and shit like that. Yeah. But I actually did that, like that, that I Will Love You fucking song that he did. I quite like that one.
Right.
Having said that, it did not work in this film. It does work in House of Gucci. Word, everyone. But it didn't work in this film.
Not sure if anyone agrees with you.
I'm telling
you,
man. I'm telling you. All right. So, yeah.
Not nominated for an Academy Award as the best picture, otherwise, may have been a topic of this conversation.
Well, I like that show. But yes, anyway, Moulin Rouge. Disappointed like decades later I was. So there you are.
All right, my number three is from the 1994 Academy Award winning film. I think it won the Academy Award in 1995 the awards would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the best picture winner in 1995 for 1994, Forrest Gump.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. Forrest Gump is the shit. I saw a couple of folks online chuck the show on that one. You got their vote. You just got it.
Well, I got two or three votes and I lost 40. Because people love this movie.
You know why? It's the shit, Paul. Of course it fucking won. It's the shit, son.
Look, I'll give the special effects credit for its time.
Yeah,
you know, like the legs.
The legs. And Lieutenant Dan's. Playing, yep, absolutely.
Lieutenant Dan's legs and the ping pong shit and all
ping
that kind of stuff.
Ping pong was the shit, son?
But oh my God.
Okay, now let me ask you this.
Just shoehorning in Forrest into all these major moments.
No, it's
moments
cool, man. It's
did
cool.
Did not work for me at all. Yeah. And you know what? Life might be like a box of chocolates, Wayne, but when you keep getting the fucking ginger ones, it sucks.
First of all, the coconut ones were worse. And is it that you don't like the fact that... Because I suspect, knowing you, that you don't like the fact that they've crowbarred him into... Oh, he's a Vietnam vet. Uh-huh. Oh, he's a fucking sea fisher dude. Oh, he's a fucking captain of industry. Oh, he's a ping pong motherfucker. But that's the point of the films, Paul.
I know.
Here we have a disabled man.
I just don't get on board with it. I have the same problem this film I have with musicals.
Why?
Because it's ridiculous.
No,
just,
I can't
buy it. It doesn't work for me. They don't convince me of anything. And the fact that, again, I know I've banged on about this, but the film writes itself into a corner, and then Robert Wright, it has to be from her perspective for a while so we get some things.
Yes, changes perspective.
Yeah. The film doesn't change perspective any other time. It's just like, oh, fuck, shit, how do we get out of this? I know, we'll do this.
Isn't that the book, though? Or is it the
book? I don't know. Can't speak to that. So I just dislike this movie. And I probably wouldn't dislike it so much if people didn't love it so fucking much. But I'm like, I don't get it. It's like a 2-star film.
You're insane.
Maybe it's a 1-star film, actually.
Oh, bitch, please.
I just did not like it. And again, people not ragged on me for years about how I should like it.
See, now you got your back up from a different context, son. That's what's going on.
It hasn't helped the film. I will totally acknowledge.
Okay.
So I realized, there you go. Yeah, the ball's back in your court. I'll get smashed again.
Ball's a cunt. Let's move on. Yep. All right. My number two is a film that I often tout as the most beautiful film I've ever hated.
Right.
It's The Thin Red Line.
Ah, my number two is The Thin Red Line.
Baby, okay. Now, everyone, let me tell you a story. Picture it. Sicily. It's 1998, and me and Paul are still glowing from seeing Saving Private Ryan. Okay? Intensity, all that shit is on. Article on fucking director Terrence Malick that I read somewhere. Intriguing. Apparently, he's a bit of a mystery man in Hollywood. Sean Penn apparently met him once and said, I would star in his next film for $1. That's what he said.
Wow.
So, and he's definitely a darling of the actors. They all, for some reason, want to work with him. Apparently, what he does is he just films. And then Brad Pitt or George Clooney said that he's like a director with a butterfly net who's waiting for a moment to catch. So that means that you as an actor get to play a lot inside his
wink, 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 wink.
I know, all right? Now, this is a movie with fucking George Clooney, John Travolta, fucking Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte, Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson, fucking...
The cast is fucking stellar. John Cusack, Elias Koteas, Ben Chaplin, Adrian Brody, Jim Caviezel.
Jesus.
John
Nick
C. Reilly, John Travolta.
Yeah. All kinds of shit. John Savage. Who the fuck is John Savage? Wait, yeah. Anyway, I remember the first thing saying, yeah, that's some mighty good cinematography. So it does look beautiful and it's great. The narration went on.
Oh my God.
And on, and a talking scene, and went on, and then it wouldn't fucking stop. And then the real problem with this film is that you had audience members like me walking in expecting Saving Private Ryan,
yeah,
and then getting basically a monologue with fucking sun shining through fucking leaves.
With every, I don't know, every hour there's like a 2-minute action battle scene. And it's sold as a war film.
I know. Right? And all it is a reflection.
Had it been a philosophical reflection on humans and their place in this world, maybe that's a fine, fine film. But at 171 self-indulgent minutes.
There it is, the length.
Oh my
of this
God.
Thing.
And it could have been, maybe not half that, that would be a gross exaggeration, but at least an hour shorter. Have we just got rid of this? Wayne. Every man fights his own war.
Oh, wow. Well, that was perfect. That was perfect. And was, in fact, like, I was actually imagining sunshine on a fucking, like, beach and your mother's snatch and shit like that. This is fucking bullshit. When that poor motherfucker died at the end, I barely fucking kept myself from standing up and clapping because I was like, get me the fuck out of here!
Please.
I was fucking out. I think I might have seen it with you, actually. I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe we did.
Yeah, anyway, there you are. The Thin Red Line.
This is the only Terrence Malick's film I've seen, and I just can't bring myself to watch another one. And I've heard time and again that his follow-up films are way worse for the same things.
Dude,
that we
you know what was...
Tree of Life.
Yeah, that's the one I screwed up. This one, honorable mention, that one is almost as bad. I didn't want to put two Terrence Malick's in a row. But yeah, that one's worse because it's about... A family man and Brad Pitt, and I'm walking around, and I've got fucking my kid on my back, and it's a nice green fucking park there. Oh, yeah, fuck off.
Not for us. We realize we've.
There you look, are. Anyway, a lot of people like, together, a lot of classy people
turned
are like,
off
you
a long time
people
ago.
Suck. All right, okay, cool.
You uneducated heathens. All right, Wayne, give us your 10 through 2 and then reveal your number one.
Righto. My number 10 was Joker. Number 9 was Dune. 8, Roma. 7, Master and Commando, The Far Side of the World. 8, I'm scrolling fast as I can, everyone. 6 was Crash. 5 was Traffic. 4, The Lord of My Rings.
Oh, my God.
Return of the Fring. Number 3, Moulin Rouge. 2, The Thin Red Line. And my number 1 is going to be a problem for some. It's No Country for Old Men.
Oh, my God.
I fucking hate this film. Okay? Wow. It's shit. Everyone.
What the fuck?
It's about Josh Brolin. He's a hunter. He comes across fucking $2 million while strolling through your ass. And then he goes, oh, I take it. He takes it. And then fucking Javier Bardem, who is this killer motherfucker with the world's worst hair, has to come after him, right? And track his ass down. And yeah, that's right. And then fucking old fart sheriff, who's played by Tommy Lee Jones, then starts also chasing Josh Brolin, but he doesn't really do shit in the whole film. Anyway, the whole point of the film is that I don't really know what the whole point of the film is, Paul. It's always bored me, and lots of people think this is the best movie that's ever been done, okay? And so it's just boom. But I hate a lot of things about this film, but here's the big thing I hate about it, and yes, a lot of people talk about this. There's this scene where Tommy Lee Jones is going into this old closed-down murder site, which is a motel room, and motherfucking, like, it's all boarded up, and no one's supposed to be in there. He goes up to the front door, he's about to open it, and there's a shot of Javier Bardem inside, in the shadows, with a gun. And then Tommy Lee Jones opens the door, and there's no one there. He looks around, opens, comes out, boom. Never explained. Never explained. It's one of those fucking things. It's one of those things that's like, oh, I'm just going to deprive you of information and call that art. Fuck you. So that's why I hate this film, everyone. It's a piece of shit, and it sucked fat, sweaty.
I think the film's great. I really enjoyed it all the way through until the last 15, 20 minutes, and I don't really know where the film go or what the point's trying to make at the end.
The experience I had throughout the whole film. Yes, go on.
Sitting around and pontificating around the fire and whatever else, and I just don't get it. But what I do enjoy is some of the theories reading into it, like that Anton is death, and that's he's meant to be the...
There's
three personification
there is. There's 4 theories. He could be in the adjacent room. It could be a figment of Tommy's imagination. He could have fucking already left because it was lazy editing and they're just giving you 2 time frames. Shit like that. Or somehow he secretly escapes, which can't happen. So it's bullshit.
All right. Well, that's my number one, by contrast, is not going to be hard to stomach if you know anything about myself, the show, or indeed the way that a lot of people operate.
Do go on.
But I'll give you my 10 through 2 first. As a recap, 10, There Will Be Blood, sorry. 9, Don't Look Up, not sorry. 8, Sideways, sorry. Bitch. Nick. 7, Vice, not sorry. 6, Boyhood, bitch. Fucking very, very long, sorry. The Godfather part, shouldn't have bothered, sorry. 4, Crash, no need to apologize for being racist, because if you're racist, you are an apology. Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump, I don't know the fuck you're talking about.
Sorry,
now.
Sorry, sorry.
Issues.
Thin Red Line.
Sure.
Saw. 3. And my number 1. Is when I first was decided I'd gotten into film and I, you know, this won the Academy Award. I'm like, okay, I want to be a film aficionado. I want to be a film snob. I need to watch these films. I'm going to the theater to see it. I'm paying my good money. And I sat there for almost 3 fucking hours watching The English Fucking Patient.
Ah, The English Patient. Still haven't seen it, Paul.
Oh, my God.
Still haven't seen
Described on Wikipedia as an epic romantic war drama film directed by Anthony Minghella from his own script based on the 1992 novel of the same name by Michael Ondaatje.
There you go.
And produced by Saul Zenitz. Look, this film is beyond fucking boring. It got 12 nominations, the same as The Power of the Dog, and it follows The English Patient, a man burned beyond recognition who speaks with an English accent, recalls his history in a series of flashbacks, revealing to the audience his true identity and the love affair he was involved with before the war.
Is that Ralph Fiennes?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
He does not admit his identity or reveal the entire story to the nurse who cares for him and the man who suspects him until the end of the film. Who fucking cares?
See, that sounds quite interesting to me. I didn't know anything about this film. The only thing I ever heard about this film is nipples.
Yeah, there's probably nudity in it, but...
Yeah, no, but like they're really big, like hard nipples.
Right, okay.
I don't know why that's the only thing I've heard.
That's what you've taken
that's
away.
What I've, no, I've only heard, someone obviously told me, so there you are.
Who else stars? Juliette Binoche, Willem Dafoe, Kristen Scott Thomas, Colin Firth.
Might have been her nipples.
Yeah, Jürgen Prochnow. Sucks. This movie sucks.
Maybe I'll go see it one day.
I got wooed in because, oh, it's a war film. Yes, it's a romance. I knew it was a romance. Great. I'm happy with that.
I bet a girl is the one who got you to that.
No, I'm
point.
Pretty sure. I can't remember. Maybe I saw it with Richard or someone like
so
that.
So I was right. All right.
Oh, fuck. It's one of the worst cinema going experiences I've ever had because I was like, oh, when is this going to get good? When is something going to happen? Please, God. How do these films keep winning the fucking best picture? This is worse than Forrest Gump.
If you think about it, oh what? Fuck you! were members of your party similarly maligned?
Don't remember. To be
honest. Remember? Yeah. Okay.
Just remember how much I hated the experience.
Okay. So did you think that the
never watched it again? Maybe I'd love it now. Highly unlikely.
So the English Patient episode of the Seinfeld. That where Elaine hates it and everyone's giving a shit.
Brilliant.
You recommend? Okay, good. There you go.
Seinfeld just went from a great show to a brilliant show in that particular space of time. So well played, Elaine. Well played, the writers of Seinfeld. Yeah, that's our list. Wayne, any quick honorable mentions?
Just the dishonorable thin red. Mentions. No, just the Thin Red Line. Actually, there's probably a few, but the Thin Red Line.
That was your number two.
No, what did I say? Thin Red Line? Sorry, the Tree of Flaps.
Tree of Flaps. Okay. Yes. I had The Post because I wanted to pick the least deserving Steven Spielberg film. And Bohemian Rhapsody, which also...
Yeah, I liked it.
I like music from Queen, so it can't make my list because I think I gave it a positive rating, but I totally acknowledge this is just a bog-standard biography. Didn't do anything amazingly.
You know what? The only reason I didn't... like when I watched Bohemian Rhapsody... First of all, I dislike the fact that Rami Malek is a two-trick pony.
Yeah, he was good in the movie.
No, he was good in the movie. And that's the only thing that other than like Mr. Robot, he's been good. Everything else is like, this guy is out of place. There was a moment
Bond
in...
villain.
Geez. Yeah, there was a moment in this film where I went, ooh, this is a good film. I think it was when Freddie Mercury was going on stage. Some reason I liked the shot and that's what kept me. So I understand though. A lot of people like this film.
Yeah. All right, that's Al. Choices for the topic at hand. What about yours? We wrap up every episode of The Countdown with your feedback on this week's topic in a segment that we call The Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's top 10 with Jamie Davies, who said number 3, Shakespeare in Love. I have zero doubt that would be on my list if I had
actually seen
the film.
But
I haven't.
It's not a lost Oscar winner, yeah.
Number 2, Moulin Rouge. Number 1, District 9. Sorry, I know you guys love it.
What? Damn. All right, man.
B Dizzle from the We Watch the Thing podcast. Great show. Check it out. Number 3, District 9 again.
God damn.
What is with all this hatred?
You can't handle the
truth.
Number 2, Joker. Number 1, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Grant Latham said Bohemian Rhapsody, the only film where Rami Malek's jaw isn't the unintended star.
I did laugh at that.
Number 2, or whatever the next one, Shape of Water. Not even an opening sequence straight out of Wayne's Top Shelf could save this wet fish of a film.
What the fuck? That film was beautiful, man. Oh, man.
And West Side Story from 2022. Haven't seen it and never plan to. Just the name gets it on this list. What the fuck, Grant? Can't do that. Sam Hurley from the Movie Reviews and 20 Qs podcast. Hopefully have Sam back on the show very shortly for a long planned just starting episode. Number 3, Vice.
What?
Yes. Number 2, La La Bland.
Oh, come on. That was great.
And number 1, Crash.
Yeah, sure.
Luke Richard Norton said, Hugo, I bought it on DVD because it had Academy Award nominated on the cover. Back when I could buy movies based off the DVD cover. Never have I felt so ripped off in my life. Good thing for Sanity's 3 for $40 deals, I didn't pay full price.
First of all, is that Marty Scorsese?
Yeah.
Yeah, shit.
That's slaughtering some sacred cows there. Mm. David Power, top of the page of the show, moderator of the Facebook list of the community said, number 3, Working Girl.
Fuck off! Although, I will... I will tell you this, Paul.
Sorry, David.
No, here it is, right? Here's my problem with this, right? There is a problem with Working Girl, and as well as The Secret of My Success and all of those 80s movies where the end shot of all of those movies is whoever the protagonist is in their big office and they kick their heels up and they're on the phone and the camera slowly racks out and now they've made it, which is complete horse shit. That's not how business works. Once you're there, then it gets hard, motherfucker. Anyway.
I'm sure David's at home going... number 2, Bohemian Rhapsody. Number 1, I haven't seen it. Licorice Pizza from
this
year.
Nor have I. I've been thinking about seeing it, though.
Paul Thomas Anderson. It's not really my speed. Apparently, Joey DiCarlo from the So Is the Podcast. Another great show. Number 3, Licorice Pizza. So he also agrees. Number 2, Crash. Number 1, Forrest Gump.
What's wrong with you people? What's wrong? What is wrong? What's going on?
Matt Evans said, number 3, Jerry Maguire.
Fucking hell! I'm losing my mind, people. What's wrong with you people? Shit. All right, you know what? Fine, don't vote for me.
If you want to vote for this shit, don't vote for me.
Go ahead.
Says Wayne. Number 2, La La Land. Number 1, Chicago.
Yeah, never saw it.
Never seen it either. Nicholas Haskins from Nikolai's Kitchen and soon to be live stream for The Cure coming back for May.
Oh, word.
Appearing hopefully on that again, just waiting on Nick's confirmation. Number 3, Bohemian Rhapsody is an insult to Queen, the legacy of Freddie Mercury.
Oh, come on.
And that's not to mention Malick's joke of a win for the best actor despite singing next to nothing in the fucking movie. That's a good point.
Mm.
Number 2, Vice. Adam McKay is a pretentious piece of shit whose work is a clear indictment of the culture we live in.
What the fuck?
All he does is punch down at people he clearly perceives to be inferior. Woo!
Damn!
Number 1, The Tree of Life, one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Sure.
Yeah. Matt Rochelle said, Crash, Power the Dog in Don't Look Up. Another one.
Fuck!
Adelaide Spence said, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Woo!
Damn. Whoa, hot take theater.
Into Green Book, not that big a hot take. Number 1, Don't Look Up.
Come on, people.
Etienne Filion Seve said, green poop. Crash and American Hustle.
What? American Hustle rocked!
And we'll bring it home with Jonathan Lamb, who said, Silver Linings Playbook. It's a pretty average movie, and J-Lo was just playing herself the whole time.
J-Lo.
Mm-hmm. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button could have been on my honorable mentions, to be honest.
I haven't
so
seen that, though. Really
it's
wanna...
so boring.
Is it?
Oh. Tend to agree. And number one, don't agree with this, The Shape of Water. This is such cliched movie. Jonathan, how is cliched with you're having sex with a merman?
Exactly. And also, that movie was lit and fucking colored like you feel underwater, bitch.
It's a travesty that it won over other movies like Call Me By Your Name and Get Out.
Whew. Fuck off. But thank you for listening, Jonathan.
That is it for this week's topic. Thank you so much to everyone who got back to us. We're sorry we couldn't get through all of the feedback. We really, truly do appreciate it. Wayne, what's happening next week? Episode 365 of The Countdown.
Not sure, asshole. Okay, sorry. Hang on. I got it here. Okay. Next week, we are doing the top 10 films where the villain wins. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
So, you know.
Maybe they're downer innings. Maybe they're not. Maybe there's an interesting definition of what.
Exactly. Some
winning,
people
right?
will think it was a villain.
This will be all over the place, I reckon, this next week's episode. So tune in for that one. And if you want to give us feedback on this week, next week, or indeed any topic or indeed anything to do with film or TV, you can do so via our website, thecountdownpodcast.com, for all our socials that are there. Follow the show on Podbean, where we host, and check out the Facebook this community. Links in the show notes. And Wayne, where should they go to get less hairy balls?
Less hairy balls? Hit manscaped.com and put in the CDPC20 code at the checkout to get 20% off your balls, your woman, and frankly yourself will thank you.
Oh, yeah. Or your man.
Oh, your man, sorry. Yeah, exactly.
Your partner will thank you, and free delivery too. That's it for this week's show. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Fuck.
I fart in your general direction.
That's what you deserve.
Okay, fuck yeah.
We'll catch you next time. See ya. Itchy, yeah.